Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone, from Carson, California, site of the Green Bay Packers 26-11 loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. Out in Dignity Sports Health Park, where the Chargers play quasi-home games against opponents. I'm Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein. And Tom, the four-game winning streak comes to an end. The road winning streak also comes to an end. And really, the worst offensive performance of the year.
I'll tell you, there's one thing that really ticks me off about this game. And that's that I've been trying to pick which of the game they were going to lay a big fat egg, and I kept missing. You know, I thought it was going to be against Kansas City. I thought maybe against Oakland it was going to be a tighter game. And I finally picked the Packers to cover, and they get blown out. So I know nothing.
Well, I'm sure, you know, many on the live blog would agree with you.
you know what was funny on the live blog was that I was actually having to calm the readers down when it's been the opposite, where they've been on me about being too negative about the team. And now, all of a sudden, the Packers are frauds. They're, you know, this is a mediocre team. I've been kind of saying that all along, but it is funny how quickly some fans will turn.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, even with the return of Devontae Adams, Tom, and they said he was kind of on a pitch count. You know, he rotated in and out of some personnel packages, still led the team 11 targets, 7 catches, but only for 41 yards, less than 6 yards per reception. You thought that would provide a boost. And yes, this was a decent Chargers defense. Mm-hmm. But I don't think coming in, you would say, wow, Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd and Von Miller and Bradley Chubb and Griff. I mean, the whole list of dual pass rushers this team has faced to this point. The two tackles didn't have great days.
It's a good place to start. Yeah. Let's start there. So that first series, Joey Bosa gives Bakhtiari an inside move, and it's on. I mean, from that point on, I mean, Bakhtiari had to be, like, have his, you know, a lump in his throat, because Bosa just embarrassed him on that pass rush. And then from that point on, he was beating up Bulaga. He was lining up on both sides. Ingram was getting some push. Then you saw, there was one string where I swear to God, every single guy on the line got beat, you know, gave up a pressure. And then they have 3 false start penalties in 10 times. In the first 10 times, right, Rodgers goes up to the line of scrimmage. They have 3 false start penalties at home, quotation marks, you know? Wow.
Yeah, the Chargers clearly are used to this crowd here. And they did a bit during a commercial break where they asked Packers fans what their favorite part of Wisconsin is, and most of them said they had never been to Wisconsin. And the reason I bring that up is because, yes, it was pro-Packer, but it was very loud throughout. I mean, there was no quieting down for anybody, and I wonder if that threw the Packers a little bit. I know Matt LaFleur said they would prepare for crowd noise. But clearly, at least early, it didn't help their offensive linemen.
No, I mean, the Charger fans were pretty loud, but even more so, the Packer fans were quiet because there was nothing going on. I mean, they were, San Diego, the Chargers were just in control of the ball. They were, you know, moving the ball down the field. They were stopping the Packers' offense. It was pretty much a total butt-kicking.
Yeah, and that's the best way to phrase it, I think, Tom. I mean, up front, it is in the trenches. And as we started with the offensive line there, you know, the Packers, I mean, they only ran 49 plays. They only had 184 yards. So this post-game reminds me a lot of that Chicago game in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Those first few games of the year, this was what the offense looked like.
Yeah.
Penalties early, behind the sticks, trying to convert third and tens. It's not working. You know, they ran the ball 11 times, Tom, for 45 yards. I mean, that's not what this offense is. That's not what this offense has been. And they just couldn't. And that's the thing. It was a close game. It was 12-0.
Yeah.
Until the block punt in the third quarter. And they just could not get any, whether it be the protection or non-commitment to the run game.
I think their biggest mistake, you know, I don't think they made any adjustments at halftime. I think what they did was reiterate, this is what we planned. We're seeing the same coverages that we expected. Now we got to block them, and we'll get to our list of plays. And I think what they really needed was some sort of a jump start. They probably needed to go to no huddle earlier and just go into like 2 minute, just something to spark their offense. Because they finally did that in the fourth quarter, and they got a nice little drive going, and they scored a touchdown. But, you know, they needed to dink and dunk their way down the field. The Chargers are playing this, you know, single deep coverage with four defensive backs 10 yards off the line of scrimmage playing zone. And you can't get anything deep on that. And, you have to take what you can get. And I thought they were kind of impatient from that regard. But then again, they're getting, you know, Rodgers was under duress too. So I do think there should have been more that LaFleur could have done. But, you know, you also got a block too.
Yeah, I would say, you know, in the first quarter, you know, you go three and out and the Chargers have the ball for 8 minutes. You go three and out and the Chargers have the ball for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So it is hard to, you know, really dissect six plays, especially if a couple of them are penalties. I mean, I don't think they ran the ball enough. However, you don't really run the ball on 2nd and 11. You know what I mean?
So it's, no, but and that maybe you needed to.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. You know, I thought like there were a couple times where I thought they were at least once or twice where they were needed to be in. Four down mode and just take the short thing and set up a 4th and 3. And then you got Davante Adams and you can complete a 3 yard pass to Davante Adams. So I thought, you know, they got a little greedy at times. Rodgers didn't play his best.
Do you think they got caught? Look, they were able to salt away the game on the ground in Kansas City with Aaron Jones at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
37 rush yards in that final drive alone. Up to that point, he had only 30. Since the pass game had started to click, I felt that they hadn't really run the ball very effectively, very much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that chicken came home to roost to a degree against the Chargers?
I agree. That's probably true. They have not run the ball effectively. It was, you know, everybody got excited about Aaron Jones playing a big role in the pass game last week. But, you know, it was really just their 4 minute offense was the only time they ran the ball. So, yeah, I believe they got to get back to that because Do you remember any play action passes the whole game? I don't
remember any. It did. It went. It was like a revert back to those first few weeks, where it was, you know, the quarterback is kind of running around holding the ball, and yeah, you didn't have the threat of the, you mentioned the coverages of playing deep. Well, there was no reason for them to ever step up and honor,
right,
you know, the run game or even have to assist in tackling. And so, I mean, it all builds on each other. And again, when you're only talking about 49 plays, not very effective and a whole bunch of penalties. You know, Rodgers had 60 yards passing after three quarters on 19 attempts. So, I mean, it was a really good defensive game plan from Gus Bradley. The penalties, of course, for Green Bay didn't help. Now, flip to the other side, I think in the trenches it was there too. Mike Pettine, I mean, that's got to be a little demoralizing when you're a coordinator and you can tell the media, this offensive coordinator change from Ken Whisenhunt getting fired and Shane Steichen getting the ball or the call, and Anthony Lynn, a former running backs coach, they're going to run it at us. They hadn't been doing it. And then if you tell us that, you can only imagine what the emphasis was all week. And the Chargers just, I mean, they were nearly 50-50 on their dropbacks and their handoffs. Mm-hmm. And Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, they really pounded the Packers up the middle. I thought their most effective runs were off center, off guard, and just gave
Chargers
it to them.
Chargers won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And that offensive line has been maligned, you know. I think that I don't know what was wrong with the front, really the entire defense, but they looked like they didn't show up. I mean, really, the whole team looked like it didn't show up. And we can talk about that after we get done with the defense. But here's a really interesting thing. So we just talked about how the Chargers played the same defense over and over again. They know Packers knew what was coming, and they couldn't move the ball. On the other hand, Pettine played the same. There's a quote from Philip Rivers after the game, and someone pointed it out to me, and I was like, this is really interesting. I'm looking for it here. He said, where is it?
So while you look for that, okay. B.J. Goodson said he thought that, at least in the run game, he felt a little bit of the change, at least a change, and what they saw was Derek Watt was not on the field as much. Less two-back type of sets out of the Chargers. That they went more single-back run situations. But again, to your point, though, they didn't, you know, I don't think that changed much or allowed, you know, the Packers didn't change with that, I guess.
Yeah. So Rivers said, you know, you saw the same formation, I don't know, maybe 25 snaps. We were in three receivers and a tight end. We just kept getting the same look and kept getting the same look and kept getting the same look. I think we said, let's just keep doing the same thing. Obviously, games won't always be like that. Teams are going to start blitzing and doing some different things, but they continue to just kind of hold tight, hang in there. So,
but that's what, you know, Mike Pettine told us he was going to do that, didn't he? When I asked him during the week, I said, Philip Rivers, he's seen everything. Are you going to, and basically Pettine said, this is not a scheme game. It's an execution game.
Yeah.
And that sort of bore out, except the problem was,
well,
the execution wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Here's what I think is that, so, okay, I agree with him. Keep playing that. It's 9-0 at halftime. You're in the game. You're just waiting for your offense. Okay, if they're going to keep kicking field goals, that's fine. Eventually, you know, Pettine saying to himself, eventually my offense is going to break through. But then it's 12-0, and then, you know, it's 19-0, and you're still not putting any pressure on Rivers. You're not changing things up. That's where I think he went wrong. I think in both cases, Pettine and LaFleur made mistakes by not changing, you know, at some point in the second half to something different.
Yeah, maybe Tom Pettine was thrown off a bit. Because, again, we saw the bend, don't break. We saw the 56-yard completion to Mike Williams on Jair Alexander. We saw, You know, Keenan Allen had a 20-yard reception. Hunter Henry, 19 yards. I mean, the explosive plays again. Mm-hmm. Tight ends and running backs. The same stuff. However, same stuff. Field goal, field goal, field goal. I think it turned, and maybe this is where the Packers should have adjusted more quickly, was the punt block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right, more penalties. Right. J.K. Scott's punting from his own 13. The Chargers put on a punt block. They change up a thing. They get in there. It's deflected. I mean, it's in 8 yards. So there it is. Chargers get the ball to 27. So what, six plays later, it's the first touchdown of the game, and there it is, 19-0.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you go from a two-possession game feeling, hey, the offense will finally get. Well, ooh.
Yeah.
The Chargers pushed the envelope and put a punt block on that the Packers. So I talked to those guys, Tom, and Hunter Bradley and B.J. Goodson said they'd seen that front. The Chargers had only pressured maybe 25% of the time on punts, and it was only when they were trailing. But they saw it. The Chargers ran an adjustment. They said they widened it out. They widened that pressure out, made the Packers have to adjust. That adjustment in the blocking didn't come. Punt block. Credit to the Chargers for that, I guess. And now you're scrambling. Now you're halfway through the third quarter, mm-hmm, with no points.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Should Pettin have dialed up some pressure at his own 27
maybe,
at that point?
Maybe. Now, he's thinking, okay, we got to force another field goal.
Right.
Because we're in a, you know, in an adversity situation. I don't know. Would a sack have knocked them out? Probably not.
Nah, I mean, it would have had to come early. Yeah. It would have had to come in those, I mean, getting the ball at the 27-yard line.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I see what you're saying, and maybe that would be a good time to do some pressure. Maybe that would have caused a turnover. But at that point, man, you're not getting it done anyway.
You would have had to run blitz. The Chargers ran three straight plays. They ran Austin Eckler, middle, left, 5 yards, 9 yards, 13 yards. So now they're kind of sort of reeling down to the 13.
This is after the punt
this
block.
This is after the punt block. And I don't – I mean, Mike Pettin isn't really a run – you know, he doesn't really do that.
No.
I mean, you're counting on your guys to make a stop there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just didn't happen. The Chargers, you know, they averaged 4.2 yards per carry. And that was after, you know, basically three Phillip Rivers kneel downs, essentially. So, or two kneel downs. Excuse me. So, 159 yards on the ground, two rushing touchdowns. Melvin Gordon, his best game since coming back from his holdout. 4 yards a carry, 80 yards total. And another big play, Tom. First, you know, fourth quarter, 19-3. You know, Packers do hold in the red zone, force a 19-yard field goal. Tony Brown's offsides. Anthony Lynn says, "You know what? We're going for it now," mm-hmm, and they punch it in. And now it's 26-3 instead of 22-3. Is what I mean. Yeah, at that point, you're wondering, can they score three times in a fourth quarter? Probably not at that point, but I mean, there's a big difference in that.
Big difference. Yeah. And I asked LaFleur about that, and this bothered me a lot because I said, you know, I asked him, wasn't that a huge play, you know, big play? And he was like, no, I thought it was a good thing because it caused them to go on fourth down, you know? And,
yeah.
And he's saying, oh, yeah, we had a chance to stop him. They're not stopping anybody on fourth and one. That's insane. I mean, you're borderline there, like, that's a discipline thing for being offsides there. And then on the kickoff later, he's offsides and false starts, Tony
yeah.
Brown. So, I mean, LaFleur's got a, I don't know. To me, that was a situation where maybe you pull a guy and say, that was really dumb to do that.
Yeah, Tony said he'll have to check the film if he was offsides. He doesn't believe he was. But yeah. He said if he's like, if I was, then that's on me. But he didn't, so that was on the field goal. And then he said he was too eager on the following kickoff. He did commit that penalty. So, but yeah, so special teams, this was an all three phase sort of meltdown for the Packers, which, you know, they haven't had that to a degree. J.K. Scott has been really good. Mm-hmm. Mason Crosby had one shot, 54 yards. He made it. Trey Smith, you know, took a little bit, but the biggest, most explosive return of the year for the Packers, 36 yards, set up Crosby's first field goal. He felt okay. He said returning the one punt that he fielded. But other than that, Tom, I mean, it was kind of a – I mean, there's a reason they lost.
Yeah.
There's a reason it looked the way it did. There was – I don't know if there was a good part of this today for them.
No, I said it in my column that usually you have a bright spot somewhere, someone who played really well, some aspect. I can't think of one either. Maybe Mason Crosby.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe that hit a
54-yard
field goal. But, I mean, there's nothing you can pull out of this.
Devontae Adams didn't re-injure himself?
But we're talking about performance.
Yeah, if you're looking for a performance, I didn't see one.
Yeah. A couple things I wanted to get your opinion on and talk about a little bit was Adams's return. I don't think it hampered the offense like some people were suggesting that his return meant Rodgers was focusing on him. I thought there were a couple times early they tried to get him the ball, just to get him the ball. But I do, you know, I do have some concern about what, as looking at it, if I'm them, is why didn't the offense look so different? You know, why weren't there more two back Williams and Jones? Why was there no,
Danny,
you
Vitale
know, fly
was
motions?
Missing.
Yeah. No Danny Vitale. Why, you know, there seemed to be fewer bunch formations, no play action. I don't know. It seemed like they were a completely different offense.
Yeah, there was one 3 tight end package with Jay Sternberger. There was a penalty, so he came off the field. Not that that matters, but, I mean, when Bayless and Tanyan have been healthy, we've seen that personnel grouping. So to your point, Tom, that's a great question. And I don't – we'll have to ask Matt LaFleur that the next time we get – which might actually be Wednesday because we're on the West Coast here and can't fly private. but, I don't know. You know, those are the things that have worked well, and I don't think the return of Devontae Adams should have affected those personnel groupings, those play calls. And maybe it's a matter of – maybe he'll say, well, we only ran 49 plays. We couldn't get into any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I said this on the live stream with Olivia, Tom, that I think the distribution among the other receivers fell the way I thought it would with the return of Adams. He got 11 targets. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Kumerow gets 2. Valdez-Scantling gets 2. Allison gets 2. Unfortunately for the Packers, Jaron Allison's the only one who caught any of them.
Right.
And so the margin of error goes away, where before, you know, Valdez-Scantling might get 4 targets and catch 2. And Kumerow gets 5 targets and catches 2.
Mm-hmm.
So when Adams comes, the targets go down. If they're catchable balls, they have to make them now.
Yeah.
I think that's where that changes. And, you know, that's something that's just, I think that's what they'll need going forward.
Yeah. Lazard was the only one who wasn't affected. 3 catches for 44 yards. That's about what he's been doing.
Right.
But you look at the yards per catch. Jimmy Graham, 4.3. Jamal Williams, 6.5. Devontae Adams, 5.9. And then Aaron Jones, 1 catch for -1.
And that was the first play of the game.
You cannot go into a... You cannot walk out of a stadium with Aaron Jones touching the ball 9 times.
That's yeah, it went the other way from, you know, people wondering can he continue to get it 20 plus, you know. So this this reminds me a lot of the Chicago game and those first couple weeks where you're just there's just not enough plays, you know, and the plays that were run are clearly not effective enough to continue to build off. That's what's weird about it, Tom. To your point though with the personnel groupings, this isn't week 1. This is week 9. And we've seen this offense work well with all of those groupings, all of those different looks. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a hiccup. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
If they kind of get back to more what they've been doing against Carolina.
So one other thing worth talking about was Rodgers, who is the king of not subliminal, but subtle messages. You know, he likes to drop things that he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say things just to say them. You know, they're not off the top of his head. He thinks about everything he's going to say. And there was a message. So his message this time was, he said something about, they weren't ready to play, whatever. He said they have to look at the 48 hours leading into this game. You know, that there, it wasn't, I want to quote it correctly if I have it here. He was saying that essentially that they weren't ready to play. He said, let me find this again.
So while you look for that, I think that was sort of echoed throughout the locker room. I think Za'Darius Smith called it some, a humbling experience.
Our routine, the decisions we made in the last 48 hours, and make sure that our head is in the right place next time we come on a big road trip, will be in the, which will be in 3 weeks. So essentially, you start adding two and two, he's saying they shouldn't have come out early.
Interesting, yeah.
You could surmise that they went out Friday night. Too many players went out Friday night in L.A., that came out Friday night. They probably didn't have much of a curfew.
Yeah.
Or Saturday, they had their walkthrough and maybe had time to go to the beach.
Yeah. Maybe the crispness of the walkthrough or what was asked of them was different. Yeah.
Or they didn't hydrate. You can go through. This is the thing with these kind of messages is that it's not he's throwing it out there, but he's not going to be specific. And it's a message probably to LaFleur.
Yeah.
More than anyone. Don't go out early on a West Coast trip.
Well, we'll see in a couple of weeks, on 3 weeks on that one.
And that's what he said. Yeah. If they fly out on Saturday, we'll know that Aaron Rodgers is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I don't know. It just makes you think about that kind of stuff. And they clearly weren't ready. They lost. They probably lost while they were on the 405 on the way over here.
What was, I have to ask, someone asked Matt LaFleur that they were late coming to the game?
Yeah, someone misunderstood that. I think Tracy Woodson, Wilson said on the broadcast that they were late getting here, and I think that means they were delayed.
On Friday night?
Yeah, I think they were delayed
on the flight. It looked like they had arrived via social media that they had gotten in a little later on Friday evening,
I think. And so someone interpreted that as that they got to the
stadium late. Yeah.
He said that's not accurate.
Yeah. So, that's interesting. I guess I always go back and forth on that one, Tom. I mean, you're right. Adding the extra night is a little different, is a change of routine. It's not like the old days, though. I mean, there still are curfews, and these guys don't hit it as hard as they used to on the road.
It depends what the curfew is. It depends how many friends and family they have out here. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're
doing anything bad. It's just entertaining or being. And it was a pretty. This was a pretty big trip. I mean, there's a lot of California-based guys. The traveling contingent was pretty.
And there were a ton of. Probably family members, Packers fans. I don't know. Maybe just the whole thing was, he felt that they were distracted.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't that guys were doing anything wrong but that they were distracted by being out here.
Whatever it was, you know, something, you know, whatever it was, they were not on their game.
Yeah.
And they all admitted it afterward, for whatever that's worth.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see. And we'll ask the head coach next time we get a chance to see what, you know, this was his first go-round sort of planning this as the lead guy, right? And
yeah.
So we'll see if he felt the Friday work and then the Saturday work was up to speed.
I also wonder about the Wednesday work.
Yeah, when they chose practicing. When they chose not to practice and do the walkthrough.
You know, and that's something he said they were, he thought they might do the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, they lost now. Usually losses change that thing. You know?
Yeah. You know, there's something to be said about practicing at full speed versus, versus a walkthrough. And I get the mental part, but you're essentially only practicing once. Friday's not really a heavy practice.
Right.
So I don't know. When we see the schedule for the week, we'll know a little bit more on Tuesday when we see that schedule, knowing whether he thought it was a mistake not to practice on
exactly.
Wednesday.
Exactly. So, yeah, we will see, Tom. You know, the players called it a reality check to a lot of ways. I think it was a little bit for probably the coaching staff on both sides of the ball. You know, first time in a long time that the offense didn't have answers. The defense didn't have answers. You know, and we'll see. You know, Carolina comes in. And I don't want to, you know, we'll preview that in the middle of the week. But, look, Christian McCaffrey's coming in. Mm-hmm. And he's going to touch the ball like 38 times.
Mm-hmm.
Running and catch all of the things that drive these Packers fans crazy on defense, that guy's going to do to him. And Ron Rivera's a smart guy. And so he's going to see what has been done to the Packers.
Yeah. Yep.
And do that. So we will, you're right, Tom, we will see this week how the head coach responds schedule-wise. And real quick, injury-wise, no obvious injuries. However, our Ryan Wood did check with Kevin King. Kind of aggravated the groin at some point before the game. You and I had seen him doing some work on the sideline with Jason Simmons and the training staff, and that explains why he rotated in with Tony Brown quite a bit. Blake Martinez re-aggravated a hand injury at some point as well.
They're going to have to evaluate that as to whether he could be on the field all the time, because he just hasn't played as well since that injury. It looks like he's getting carried a little bit more by runners. He just doesn't seem as physical, and I don't know if that's because of the hand or what.
Yeah, it's a tough injury to be dealing with. I mean, period, yeah. Let alone when your job is to, you know, hit and bring down very large men.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see there. So Adam said, you know, he's worked through some soreness, but no obvious issues, you know, that we have seen the last few weeks. So
they remain a very, very healthy team.
Yeah. So, you know, here we are, 7-2, one more home game before the bye. And, you know, the Packers did not win, Tom. But, you know, we can go to Pottawatomie Hotel Casino and we can win, especially on Wednesdays this fall, although it feels like winter, but it's still the fall. Play with your club card for your share of $250,000 in total prizes. And, of course, you can learn more when you visit paysbig.com/fallwins. So another road trip in the books.
Yep.
We'll be back out here on the West Coast in a few weeks. Thank you all for joining us. And
time to start the new music.
Yeah, here we go. So for Tom, I am Jim from California. We will talk to you in a few days. Thank you.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.